This is William J. Sherrick of the State Historical Society, June the 9th, 1955, recording at Bethel Temple, Madison, the reminiscences of early Jewish settlers through the cooperation of the Wisconsin Jewish Archives, Al Thumberg, Director.
My name is Saul Kasdin, S-A-U-L, Saul, K-A-S-D-I-N, Kasdin. And I come to Madison, I think it was in 91. Maybe a few months earlier or later. At that time, Madison had a mayor on pay without a salary. He didn't get a salary. But of course he had the, what they call, the advantage of give me friends officers. The police department at the time was composed. Every mayor used to appoint two men who knew as much about police business. They only had one man who did know, and his name was Shaughnessy. He knew. He's the only real policeman, Shaughnessy. As I said before, the mayor got no salary, but he had the power of electing, nominating people. The city of Madison at that time was a wide open city, so wide open that was terrible. So, in fact, the East Washington Avenue, first block on the left-hand side going east, was all saloons. And you pass by there, sometimes you'd see him taking a man and just throwing it out. Of course, he's drunk, you know, and all his money was gone. Threw him out bodily, and everyone complained. Well, time came and people got tired of it, and we put it prohibition. That meant all the liquor business went to middle. Well, they had prohibition, and that wasn't satisfactory, and I didn't blame him. I didn't know. Well, I was against liquor and saloons. It was bad, so they went back into saloon business, but it was different saloons entirely, respectable, what we call it.
Was that a local prohibition?
Local, yes. Just city of Madison.
Is that what years were those?
I couldn't say. I know I come here in 91, and of course they had a system there, and a short time later, I guess a couple of years, they voted out saloons entirely. Well, Madison, at the time, we had a lot of Germans come over from Germany. And those Germans were very nice set of people, very nice class of people. I remember, what's his name now? He was mayor here for a while. I forgot his name. He went from here to Schubert. Old man Schubert was a photographer, and he was one of those Germans who come to this country because they couldn't stand it. They wanted democracy. He was a very fine man, and George Schubert was very fine man too. He was married one time, too, some years later, many years later. And then he ran for, Congress, and he lost. He was a good man. Hold on, what else can I tell you? Because Madison was very small. I would say it was only about 13,000 at the time. The east side, not the way east, but east side, we call it east side now, was already platted. It had sidewalks, so sometimes you look down the sidewalk, you had to look down 10 feet. That was a very, very low marsh. Well, what else shall I? You ask questions, I'll be glad to answer.
Well, what brought you personally to Madison?
Me? Well, you know, I was an immigrant, come from the old country, and I became a cigar maker. Then during the bad year, you know, we had some bad years at the time. See, I had a brother in the mining country in Minnesota. He was a cigar maker. And that's where I went. I came here to this country. And then when the Depression came, you know, there was nothing doing there. So we had a depression at the time, and it lasted quite a while. So all I could do was go out. Every time I come to the Jarvis Garmin King. Of course, there was none. So I had some paper and envelopes to go from our stars. And we had me arrested for peddling without a license. And of course, not having anything, they would just let me leave town. I had a brother at that time. He's dead now. He was an optician. So he went with his optical business downtown, and I went looking for a job. I didn't get a job. I went selling. Then I come to medicine. There were two boys here at a store right in the Opera House. You know where the Opera House was. And they wanted to get out. So my brother and I bought them out. We had very little money. We were thanks to God that we bought them out what little we had, and we gave notes for the rest. The name was Weller Brothers. Weller, one of the Weller, and the other one, what is it, started with a name. And I guess he's probably alive in Milwaukee. Well, what else do you want to know?
Mr. Kaplan, where did you come from?
I come from the city of Minsk.
Mm-hmm. When did you leave Minsk?
Well, we belonged to Minsk, but we lived in a small town not far from Minsk, the state of Vilna, by the name of Krasny. We were what they call, we belonged to the city, we owned the passport, we got it in Minsk. But we lived in a small town, and my parents had a store there.
And could you describe for us the life in that small town?
Yes, I could. Well, there was a small Jewish community. You know, the town was had the center of the town, a big round vacant place. That's where the people used to come, so I guess every 2 weeks or every month, and the market. And all around, trying to get was houses. Some had business, most of them. When I came, there was only one or two business places. It's a big place. We had a train, railroad not far from medicine, called Libavo-Romsky. Libavo-Romsky doesn't work, and it didn't go right to the town, but near enough, so we could walk there for fun, you know, and we had nothing else to do. And there we passed by about a mile or so, was piled up with split wood for the trains. They should start doing load up. The wood was, what do you call it? I forgot. It's wood with white.
Which one?
And you had it there, I guess they used to carry it there 3-4 years before it used to be used. So it's like, and that was a place where all the trains used to stop to fill up with wood, you know, if they were soft. So we had adventures of the train, and of course, right in the center of the city, I see was the mark. Well, they used to come ever so often and bring the stuff there and sell it. The Jewish neighborhood, Jewish people in that town, lived around that mark. A little, we were between Radishkovitz and, just a minute, it was near the other town. Forgot now. Hardock was another one about 5 yards away. Radishkov's about that far. And Malodechny. And of course we were having the railroad, that was quite a boost for the little town medicine. At the time we were there, there was 3 Jewish stores. My folks had one. And my uncle had another one. And there was another store by a party who had all the trade of the nobility, you know, Poles. There were Poles. The rest of them, of course, were not Poles. They were Lithuanians. But the nobility was Poles, and they had all the trade. Well, we had it's Ado. Now, what we call the city, the town was just the part where the Jews lived. The rest of the town didn't count, you know. That was the town. Well, of course, you know, I was wondering, you know, ever so often, once a year, they used to have a time and they used to the people who were taken to the army, when they went through town, all the houses were closed, dark, afraid. They were also afraid of all the Gentiles during the time of Christmas. Not Jews showed themselves out those days, stayed inside. And while we were afraid, we were lucky. We never had any war shame. Once in a while, maybe between a Jew and a Gentile, but no general trouble like that in some towns. As I said, the town, what we call the town, was just the part of the town occupied by Jewish people. The rest was out as far as the children were concerned.
How many Jewish families were there in this town?
Well, it must have been, I don't know, we had two congregations there for people to take. Because, you know, I was very young when I left. In fact, when I was growing up, when I got to know anything, I said, I'm not going to stay in this country. Going away. I intended to go to Israel. Then I wasn't ready to go yet, so I went to this country. So I said, I have two boys here in this country. Well, I want to tell you something about the Jewish population of Madison.
Before you get that far,
yes.
How old were you at the time you left Europe?
About 16.
Did you come alone or did you come with a group?
I come alone. Well, there was a couple more from my town going at the same time. But we went to Germany, stopped in... We had to cross the frontier, you know. We didn't have a passport to cross, so we had to have somebody take us across. We stayed quite a group, and each one paid so much, you know. And first we came to Stettin. Then we went to Hamburg. From Hamburg we took... It was the sailboat. It was a lumber boat. A lumber. We went quite a few of us. Went as far as what's the name of that? Of that city. It was Glasgow. We went to Glasgow. We went. They had the lumber boat, and they put on kind of a little protection, and we went there. We came there, and we got a boat to the United States. The twin deck, we had a twin deck. It was a terrible place, terrible.
How much did it cost you to come across?
Oh, I don't remember.
What year was it, Mr. Kasson?
Oh, I couldn't tell you exactly.
Now, when you arrived in the United States, where did you go?
Well, I come to New York. I had family in New York, cousins, you know. So, and of course, stayed there for a while. And then I went to New Haven, peddling with paper and envelopes to break me in a little. And then I went to St. Paul. One of my brothers had a friend there, and I stayed there, and I went paddling there with Timwell, basket and my... Because my brothers thought it was a very good way to break me in a little in language. And I stayed there for a while, and then I was offered as a teacher in Stillwater, small Jewish community there. They were supposed to give me board between the families, you know. And of course, I could have gone to school in the morning because I had no one to teach in the morning. But my brothers had a cigar factory in town, Minnesota. And he called me there told us the best thing for me to do, which was not. Went over there and stayed there for a while and got disgusted and I went to Chicago. And after we was in Chicago for a while, I was a cigar maker and didn't make very much. So we come to medicine. My brother had a store, a food store, and we stayed here ever since.
Could you describe for us the religious life of the Jews when you came to Madison?
I think of our people, there were hardly none, there was a few of them, and they didn't stay there long. About a year after I was there, they were all gone, the exception of one family, but in Richmond.
You say our people, who?
Jewish people.
Jewish people.
Yeah. But in Richmond, he came from Sweden. Strong, healthy man, and one of his sons lives here now. He was the youngest. He was born after I was here already. And the Jewish people now take, after I come here, and the Sinaikuska and the Kalins, they come from the state of Minsk too. And there was not many, of course, those who come here were very poor, started peddling rags, things like that. And it was pretty tough right until the First World War. After the war, things changed as far as the Jewish people come home and started in business already and got along quite well since.
When you came here, what sort of congregation was there?
We had not.
Sure.
They had a little temple where they called it on West Washington Avenue now. West Washington. That's right. I don't know why they have that small institution, but they didn't have regular service. Once a year or twice a year, they would have some service. They'll probably get the away from Milwaukee or something like that. Because they tell me that before I got there, they had quite a Jewish congregation, you know. And I think when I come to Madison, among the Jewish people, there were two brothers, what's the name? Oh, Cook brothers. Cook brothers. There was Dr. Mack. There was Mr. Klauber. Mrs. Mack was a Klauber. I understand that Dr. Mack really worked for a while for the Klaubers, and they liked him so well, they sent him to school and became a doctor and had a sister of theirs. The Cooks, those two brothers, one was a bachelor, and one had children. Now one of Miss Klauber is still alive. Miss Cook. Miss Cook, she's still alive. She was one of those who met us when I came. And of course there was the Thoringers. Thoringer. One of them died not long ago. It was the old man who was the president of the congregation that they had at the time. Now, Mr. Thoringer, when his wife died, what's the name of that Christian organization that do not
the Women's Club?
Ah.
Women's Club?
No. Christian Church. The real Reformed Christian, what do you call it now?
Unitarian?
Unitarian Church. when Miss Unitarian Minister officiated, when his wife died. When he died as a Lutheran. And his father was president of the Jewish Congregation at that time, and I was too. Well, there was a Mr. Cook, as I said, two brothers Cook, and then there was Mr. Richman was here. He came from Sweden.
Were all these people members of the Reform congregation?
The Thuringer was, and the Klabers were, and Max.
Was it a rather thriving congregation when you came? Was it a thriving congregation when you came?
It was it what?
Was it in good order? I mean,
they didn't have any members. They tell me that before, some 10, 15 years before I came, they had a big Jewish congregation. So when I came there, there was the Klabers, Thuringers, Dr. Merck, Kaiser had a store there. What's his name? Is that in the corner there? What's his name? That big building.
Belmont Hotel?
Huh?
Belmont Hotel?
Belmont. Piper's.
Yes.
There was a Mr. Kaiser at the store there.
Do you know why, Mr. Kasdan, there was a decline of the number of Jews in Madison?
Well, I think that time before that, all the business, Madison was quite a big center, where the farmers used to come to the grain. But that thing came in, that declined entirely. See, the grain business, instead of, used to go from camp to medicine to Milwaukee. But that thing came, there was no need for it anymore. So the declined very much.
In other words, the trains up in central Wisconsin took the grain directly to Milwaukee. Is that right?
Well, the train, of course, naturally. You see, they used to go to Milwaukee by horse, you know, horse and wagon. So Madison was the center. Another thing, when I come to Madison, they had the pigeons. Pigeons were so thick, the South music could knock them down. Now somebody offered $500 for a pair of those pigeons. They having them at that time, they were a nuisance. That's what they tell me. You could cut. I know I lived in South Madison later, and it was just as thick as flies. But none of those pigeons are here now. There was too many of them, I guess. And they were very easy to handle. They didn't defend themselves, I guess.
Mr. Kasdan, do you remember the organization of Agudas Achim?
Sure.
Could you describe the reasons for the organization?
The Agudas Achim, when I came here, there wasn't any Jews here at all, you know. I was the first one. Then come the Synagogues, the Kalins, and then they come the synagogue, you know. And then they begin to come here, and they decided they have to have an organization. So that was an Orthodox organization. They used to have shechet, you know what it is. And when first coming, we won't kosher me, they had sent to Milwaukee for it. But after a while, they had shechet here. They used to do their own killing, kosher killing.
Mr. Kasdan, were you the first Orthodox Jew to come to to Madison?
Not quite Orthodox. Mm-hmm. See, I kept my business open on Saturday, had my didn't observe kosher anymore, so I couldn't call me.
But then you were the first Eastern European Jew to come to.
There were a few here, but didn't stay long. Except, as I said, Richmond family, although they come from Sweden, but they were really born in Russia, I guess. You know. And they were really Orthodox, the Richmond family. But I was Orthodox when I came here, but when I came to medicine, I wasn't Orthodox anymore. Politics was a lot, I told you that. It's terrible.
Well, down through the years, were there a number of transients? I mean, people who moved in and then moved out?
Well, I'll tell you, when I came to medicine, there was only about 13,000. So there's more coming in than going out. Mm-hmm. It started to build up then. He opened the doors. Oh, what's his name? He's got a store on I think Doran. The guy's storekeeper's brand of Doran. No. Doran. Anyway, that's the last of medicine. He was as far as medicine went. In Irvinger Park was way out of town. There was no east side was not built up yet. I think that when I came, medicine was about 13,000.
Now, when you came, where were most of the Jewish people concentrated?
In Greenbush. You know, the mm-hmm. Greenbush, that's where they come. That's where the Synagogues settled. And that's where they first had the... That's where they first had the house of service, you know, in Greenbush. That place there on the corner of... Greenbush, and what's the other street? So now there's a church there that used to be the first house of service they built. Because they built...
Park.
Huh?
Park and
Park.
Home.
Park and Home, yes. And of course, first was smaller and they enlarged it, the same building, they enlarged it. And they had... used to get a kosher meat from Milwaukee. And... then they got a butcher shop right there in Madison, Shirat. And Shirat didn't stay very long, they couldn't make a living here. And so all they used to give them the benefit of selling the kosher meat. See, they used to have a shechet, kill it, and he would take the kosher part of it, you know, and then sell it to the community here. And that was, it seems that he couldn't make a living out of that.
Were there many Jews living in the nearby communities that you knew?
No, not many. No. Not many.
What about the outlying towns? You said now Middleton boomed for a while.
Well, when I came to medicine, there was a few Jews in medicine that there certainly wouldn't many come. It took quite a few years before they had really a congregation here.
Mr. Kasdan, what do you think brought the other Jews to Madison?
Well, Jews were running away from Russia, you know, mm-hmm. at that time.
But why to Madison? Why not to New York?
No. Milwaukee got more than medicine did, as far as concerned.
Were there organizations helping these people come to Madison?
No. No, they had pretty hard times when they came here at first. They were all peddlers making a living. Some with push carts. Some already had enough worked up themselves to buy a horse and wagon. Pretty hard time till the First World War. They made a hard living.
Well, one of the factories started over on the east side. I understand some of the latter arrivals found employment in the factories on the east side.
Yeah, that's much later. Much later.
At the turn of the century or later than that yet?
Huh?
Around 1900 or would it be later than that?
Later than that, yes. They didn't have much. Well, they had some what they had now.
Feed mills.
Huh?
Feed mills.
Yes, they had that. Feed mills.
Mr. Kasdan, do you remember the formation of some of the other organizations in the community, in the Jewish
well,
community?
Well, I'll tell you, the Jewish...
Jewish organizations.
They didn't have all the Orthodox temple was the first thing they had.
Did they have a Nibrith very shortly after you came here?
Well, that was later, yes. It was the first Nibrith that was organized for non-German Jews. They had in the British Messenger Hall at that time. Up to the time, they only had German Jews who were members of the British. Yeah, I think that's really the first British organization in the United States of non-German Jews.
What year was that, Mr. Kasdan?
Well,
what year was that?
I couldn't still exactly tell you. I think Robert could tell you that better than I could. He probably has a record of it.
Up to this time, there had been no organization of B'nai B'rith in Madison?
None in the United States, only of German Jews. See, originally it started in the United States, but it really was strong in Germany, very strong. And they did not want its time to take in the non-German Jews. But later on, they realized they don't want to exist. In the first place, really, the non-German Jews, those who come from Russia and so on, Poland, were a poor class. They were ignorant class, you know, poor people. Then, of course, better class started to come in, you know. And as I say, they wanted the, you know, at that time, the Nebris was a secular organization. No, it isn't, you know, they're a password. Hey, Bocho, you had to say it before you come in there.
Do you remember the formation of the Talmud Torah?
Yes.
Madison.
Yes.
Now, the Talmud Torah was the educational institution
That's
for
right.
the young Jewish people.
Because it really came with the, when they first built a house of service, then Talmud Torah came. Otherwise,
did they have a teacher who came?
Usually the shechet was a teacher and took the services, you know, to his school. He was what they call a teacher and the shechet. And that's where, of course, they didn't have a rabbi for quite a while.
Were most of the people who belonged to Agudas Achim
yes.
Russian Jews?
Yes.
So that they were all Orthodox?
All Russian Jews, all Orthodox, yes.
Now, did you open a cigar factory here in Madison?
I didn't have a cigar factory. I had a food store.
Oh, a food store, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And where do you live now? What is your address?
Now I live in 442 Charles Lane.
Are you retired or still active?
I had to be retired. Oh, yes, I retired when I was 70. That's 12 years ago.
Mr. Kasdan, I wondered if you could tell us something about the various people who have come to Madison, the Shines.
Well, I see as first come the Kalins. They come from Kapuli, state of Minsk. Then come the, no, first come the Sinaikos and then the Kalins. The Sinaikos come, then the Kalins. Then start to come pretty fast afterwards.
Were any of the Jews of Madison involved in the political life of the city?
You mean around for office? No. No, they didn't.
Well, you had a good example here of a very active Jewish citizen, Saul Levitin.
Saul Levitin came much later.
Much later?
Oh, yes, he came. He had a big store in the country. I forgot what place it was.
In New Glarus.
New Glarus. It was the finest country store in Wisconsin. That's what they tell me. I never saw it. That's what they say. Then he came here as a politician, you know. He became.
Did you mention, Mr. Kasdan, that you were on the school board?
South Madison.
Yes.
South Madison at the time was not part of Madison. I was a school board for 9 years. I was a director. And then Mr. Torville, who was the secretary, died. She used to elect, they had 3 members. Every year one member was elected. That was the director, the secretary and the treasurer. I was director for 9 years. And then Mr. Torville died, he was secretary. You know, I used to elect, say, one man every year. So one was old, almost 2 years, and the third one was new entirely. So he was one of the old members, so they asked me.
1873. 1873? What day?
18th.
Of? What month?
It's March.
March?
No,
March 18th?
Yes.
1873 in Krasnoye.
Yeah.
I don't want to go ahead. But there's one thing. Mrs. Caston's late wife was very active here, and Mrs. Caston,
yes.
Sarah,
yes.
Caston, was the founder and I believe president of the first Jewish Ladies Society here in Madison.
She
is that correct?
She was
the
for
Queen
years.
The Queen Esther Society.
Till she has to give it up because she's too
sick. Would you tell us about that, perhaps a little bit?
Well, of course, she had quite a schooling education. I wouldn't say she went toward his ability. She passed three classes in the first year. And of course, when she came here, she was supposed to be the best educated among the our people here in Madison. Of course, afterwards, of course, changed that. People went to school and to university, but at that time, for a good many years, she was looked up. In fact, she was president of the women organization for a good many years till she has to quit because she was sick. See, the organization was started by Mrs. Jastrow, Miss Thorold, Mrs. Jastrow's sister.
I understand that the Queen Esther Society,
yes,
predated,
yes,
Hadassah.
Yes.
So,
just a minute. Well, I couldn't tell you.
Yeah.
I guess it did. But when Hadassah was organized, Mrs. Jastrow was president, and Sarah was vice president. Mm-hmm. Seeing when Mrs. Jastrow was sick, she was really president. When Mrs. Jastrow died, she was president as long as she could, until she resigned. She couldn't, but she was too sick. As long as she was, all even when she was well, you know, she spent half her time in the hospital.
Okay.
See, when my oldest daughter was 4 years old, she had her operated for gallstones. Sick ever since, but still she was the leader really as long as she could. Then of course Mrs. Shine took it over.
I remember having seen a picture showing you on the picture too of a convention that was held in Madison. What kind of convention was that?
That was the, let's see, the break.
When, what year was that?
No, I don't remember. I have the picture somewhere here, but I don't remember what year it was.
Mr. Caston, what have been the activities of the B'nai B'rith throughout the years since you... Were you a charter member of the B'nai B'rith?
Oh, yes. I was a charter member of the B'nai B'rith.
What have been its activities here in Madison?
Well, it's really educational, social and educational. That's where the... I'm still a member, as far as concerned, although I don't attend meetings anymore. It's pretty hard for me.
There were no other organizations in the city in the early years.
Well, I think there was insurance.
You never in societies?
There was. Yes, there was, I guess, but I didn't belong to there.
Was that the Gemilat Hessen?
Possibly.
The Gemilat Hessen?
The only Gemilat Hessen is part of the shul of the synagogue.
But this wasn't the same as the Benevolent Society that
no,
you mentioned.
But simply, well, I guess they did do some now. Take one of the members that before the World War, you know, when there's so many poor members that they used to help,
mm-hmm,
help them out.
Were you ever a member of the Workman's Circle?
No, neither was a member of the Workman's Circle. See, the Workman's Circle at that time were really anti-religious. Well, I was not religious, I was not anti-religious at the time. It's totally different. In fact, for a good many years, as long as my mother-in-law stayed with me, I observed Kosho. You know, I was a sheikh myself. So it was funny, you know. They used to gather meat from Milwaukee. Of course, I didn't, because I killed chickens. She had a store, killed chickens, that's easy enough. So once my mother-in-law bragged to old Mrs. Sinek, we didn't know her, that she has no trouble in observing kosher because whenever I can kill a chicken. Oh, she says, that isn't kosher. He doesn't observe Saturday, so he's what he does. So since then, she wouldn't eat. And I quit observing kosher. As long as I can observe kosher on account of my mother-in-law, but she wouldn't have it. So I said, why should I bother?
Where did you meet your wife?
In Chicago.
In Chicago?
I'll tell you what happened. When I come to this country, one of my brothers, Joe, was a spectacle peddler. He had a friend by the name of Max Elsler. He also was a spectacle peddler, a little ahead of him. He came to this country before him. So when I went to Chicago, naturally I looked up his family. So that's the first time I met Sarah, because she's only a child. But when I moved to Madison and started a business, I used to go to Chicago ever so often to do my buying. I used to call on her. When she got bigger, I fell in love with her. And I married her eventually.
Mr. Kasdan, you were a member of Aguda Safim for how many years?
Oh, I'll tell you, I was a member for, I don't know how many years, but it happened one time when I was a member, and my wife used to be on the Yom Kippur in Shul all day long. Nathanson was president at that time. And we had a seat, of course, I used to go in and out, you know. But my wife was in Shul all day long. Certain seat that she liked. There was another woman here who wanted that particular seat that my wife had. And of course, in my case, when I come, my seat was taken. I didn't care because, but she was there all day long. So there was a woman who wanted that seat, particular seat. And the president, Nathanson, they gave her that seat. So I quit. I went to school and came to my wife because she wanted a particular seat, and I thought I was through. That's all.
Well, although the Jewish people are not active in political affairs as such,
beg pardon?
You say the Jewish people were not active in political affairs as such.
No.
But they were active in community affairs.
That's it. The community were very, very active. But,
can you tell us something about that?
Well, I'll tell you, I lived for a good many years in South Madison. South Madison at the time was away from Madison because there was no roads, there was no car, so I really had much to do with them, except in the case of, for instance, I was interested in the Zionist organization. I used to come to meetings. It's pretty hard to get there. See, for a while we used to have a little train. If you want to go from Madison, South Madison or vice versa, you took the train. How you walked the tracks. There's no other way, there's no roads. So that's how it was pretty hard to get there for me to Madison. Because of that later years was different. When I come to South Madison, it was only about half a dozen families. There was a long school. When I got interested, my children in school already, so they already had a large school. And yes, the one room school when I come to South Madison.
Well, how far was South Madison from Madison?
Oh, 100 miles. You couldn't get there. In dry weather, it was all right. You could drive.
In dry weather, how far was it?
wasn't so bad. Of course, in Blyville there was plenty of mud, not only in South Madison, but even in Greenbush. You found plenty of mud there. It's pretty hard to get it. Sometimes when you went in the buggy, you got stuck. You had to go out of your buggy and push.
Well, how many miles apart were they?
Just
a couple of miles apart?
No, wasn't that far. I would say a mile and a half.
And still they lived apart as two different communities?
Very much apart because there was no roads. Mm-hmm. So there was no way of getting there. In Dryville, it wasn't bad. Even after they had a streetcar already, sometimes they couldn't go only as far as the as Lakeside and stop. They had the street, Lakeside had three times concrete. First time was too low, second time was still too low, and the third time, it's what it is now. It's very low, it was marsh. You see that marsh belonged to Richmond, all that property. And he was hanging on, he wouldn't sell because he was hanging on for high prices. So what did they do? They took some shrub, you know, and things around, lay it on, and a little dirt on top of it. I tell you, after the macadamus three times, so it was really high enough, so it could be used all kinds of weather.
Was this the Richmond who came from Sweden?
No, the Richmond came from Sweden was a Jew. This Richmond is a lawyer. Richmond Jackman Svensson used to be. Did you hear him?
No.
There was Richmond Hill in South Madison. And he had all fenced in. So all beautiful trees. Beautiful place. He even had that's quite a story. He had some deers in it. Somebody gave him a couple of deers. So he had fenced in and it was part of him. After all he got tired of deers. So he gave it to see. That's where they have animals. That's where it started.
Zoo.
The zoo. His two deals started the zoo in Madison.
Mr. Kasdan, you mentioned the Zionist organization in Madison. How early was there a Zionist organization here? Was there anything before you came?
No. No, it started really in the English people. Well, I being a Zionist from the old country, it means the founder of the Zionist organization joined it.
Was there a difference between being a Zionist in the old country and being a Zionist here?
No.
It was the same same idea?
Object, yes.
What was the object in those days?
The object was
cases?
to get as many Jews in what's called Israel now as possible. Because they had to quite a lot of trouble because the Turkish government was against it.
Well, was it a desire at that time to just get Jews there or to establish a Jewish homeland like they had?
Eventually,
now?
Eventually, establish a Jewish homeland, actually, you know. Because every religious Jew, priest, felt a throne of Israel. And they wanted to go there. Now, I know. When I was a boy, about 13, my father bought some land in Israel. They had an organization, City of Minsk. I was supposed to go there. They picked out 30 young men to go there. They were supposed to become good farmers next year. He sent 30 more young men, and these 30 will show them how. What happened? The money that we put in, we knew nothing about Israel or Palestine. We knew nothing about land, so I suppose most of the other piece of marsh was worthless, so there was no place to go. So I went to the United States and intended to go to Israel someday.
Were any of them farmers already who intended to go to Israel?
No. You know, everybody in Israel now. Big family.
When was there a definite Zionist organization established in Madison?
In Madison? Well, let's see. Oh, I guess
I guess started about 3-4 years after I got here to medicine.
Was it a regular Zionist, or was it a Politzion, or a regular Zionist?
Zionist.
Zionist. Wasn't a workers...
wasn't a Politzion. Politzion or a Zionist socialist.
Mm-hmm.
No, I wasn't. It was just a regular Zionist organization. In fact, they started, and they asked me to become a member. Naturally, I didn't know what to start because, you know, I lived so far away from medicine. I didn't know what was going on. I said, sure, I will join. And, of course, afterwards, I was at the head of it for 20 years.
What was the what was their program here? Did they raise money for Israel?
Yeah.
Or were they trying to get people to go to Israel? Or what?
No, that wasn't thought of at the time, no. But they raised money to help some oil people go to Palestine.
Do you know of any people here in this area who went to Israel?
Well, of course, you mean to stay there or just
live,
to visit?
Yes, live.
No.
No.
I know several who went there. I went to Israel. Oldman Sinaika went to Israel before I did. It wasn't easy as Palestine then.
Mr. Kasdan, you said at one time that there were Jews who came into Madison and then left. They didn't stay very long. Where did they usually go?
Huh?
Where did they usually go?
You go, most of them converted.
No, I mean to another city. You say...
They just disappeared, that's all. And most of them converted.
Well, was there a strong religious life in Madison that did not hold?
When I come here, no, helped? No. Mm-hmm. No, there wasn't. And then, oh, see, they used to have at one time, Madison was a big center for farmers to come. And there was many more Jewish people than when I come. There wasn't hardly any, just a few German Jews when I come here. And the community got smaller, you know. They couldn't afford to keep a leader anymore, you know. So eventually it disappeared. I know some families that taught medicine. Their parents were members of the Jewish community. They themselves were already Christians. And they were intermarried, you know.
So that eventually the Reform congregation died out completely?
Yes, always.
Okay. Do you remember the establishment of the conservative congregation, Beth Jacob?
Beth Jacob, for sure. That's after a very good many years.
What was the reason for that?
Well, because they felt, being Orthodox Jews, they need a center. At first, they would only have services, be really come there, you know, only on high holidays, where they would come together on a Saturday, just the same, because it took time. Because the first affair was a very small one. Big one, but now they have no Orthodox congregation here. They have Reform, they see a temple, and they have conservative. Big, you know what a conservative surely is, it's big.
Beth Israel.
Beth Israel is a really fine rabbi, and they have strong membership there.
And there are no other congregations in Madison now?
Not Jewish, no.
What do you think about the establishment of the Department of Hebrew Studies at the university?
I think it's wonderful.
Has there been much connection throughout the years between Jews at the university and the Jewish community of Madison?
Well, we have some members of the DC institution who are professors in the university.
Mm-hmm.
Several, I don't know how many. Do you remember Professor Kellen?
Kalin?
Kalin. No. He was quite active in the... He was a very active man. Active in the university and active in the Jewish community.
Well, they have taught Hebrew and Jewish language and culture at the university before, haven't they?
I don't think so. I don't think they did.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything else that you could think of, Mr. Kasdan, that
I'll
you would
tell
like
you,
to add?
My memory is very, very poor.
Well, I think you've done very well, and we appreciate it.
If you ask questions, I'll be glad to answer the best I know. I don't even, you know, I see I forget things. Sometimes I forget my own name.
What would you say was the major occupation of the Jews in Madison today?
Well, I guess most of them are merchants. Merchants, since I have quite a few of them are connected to the university. Yeah. They have no, as far as I know, they have no poor people here among the Jewish community which need help. In those days they did. People would come here, went peddling, and help them buy a horse and wagon, you know. It's quite a help, you know. But I don't think there's anything like that in medicine now.
Have they always helped through a welfare fund, or was it informal?
No, it was formal. The first Jewish congregation started here, had what they called an institution for the, I don't know how much, I was not a member of it because, you know, for quite a way, somebody. Two reasons. In the first place, they were, well, they were different. But they had what they called they used to raise money and help these poor people buy a horse or things like that. Well, that's a thing of the past, long ago. Medicine doesn't need it now. You go up to the world, most of the Jewish people in Madison are poor.
How would you compare, in conclusion, Mr. Kasdan, the Jewish life in the small community that you came from in the province of Minsk and Jewish life in Madison?
Well, Madison Jewish now live a good life. Was nothing to compare to the thing there. You know how we live in the old country? They have no such thing as hygiene. No hygiene, though. For instance, people who are fairly well-to-do, like my own parents, who are well-to-do. Chickens right in the house. We had a cow or two. But as far as no comparison at all. Person in the old country where I come from had a house like we have here, they were thinking of a millionaire. They can see, and my parents were well to do. In fact, they had two houses and a store. But what kind of a life did they live there? A cow, get their own milk, had a garden, get their own vegetables. For instance, the floor was scrubbed once a year for Pesach. That's all. They didn't live like we live here at all. Entirely different kind of life. In fact, the person made a dollar and a half a week. He did well. He's getting along fine, all right.
Well, we thank you very much. You've given us some very interesting and valuable information.
I wish I could.